Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to this hour-long broadcast here at Shepherd's Chapel. Always good to have you with us. You know, Christ, in this sixth chapter of St. John, had just got through feeding the 5,000. He told them to pick up the fragments, and they had 12 baskets left over. That's still meaning what? When you share God's word, there's always enough left over for everybody, all of God's children. But the main thing that he wanted to warn them about in the fragments, anytime you have a large group of people coming together, you're going to have some false teachers around the edges. You're going to have some ratchet jaws that try to come to anybody's meeting because they can't get an audience for themselves. And what Christ really meant after that feeding, you'll find it better written in Matthew chapter 16. You're not going to have it, but I'm going to read it to you. And verse 6, Jesus said unto them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." In other words, this is why you get the leaven out of the bread. This is the leaven of false teaching that you want to be careful of. They reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we've taken no bread." When Jesus perceived what they had said, "O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up." Verse 10, "Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up." And of course there were 7. 11, How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, but you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, to beware of false teachings. You know, this is something, so many people, if you're not well-founded in the Word, you can be misled. Some people can make things sound pretty good. Always make them back it up from the Scripture. And then you're standing on pretty solid ground. If they cannot back it up by Scripture, then you better give it a quick think. Okay, so we come to chapter 6 after the multitude is fed. We pick it up in verse 16. Let's go with it. And it reads, "And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea." 17, "And they entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum." That's the city of compassion. "And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them." He didn't get in the boat with them. But what do they see? Verse 18, "And the sea rose by reason of a great wind and blew." Verse 19, "So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs," they see Jesus walking on the sea. "And drawing nigh into the ship, they were afraid." I mean, they'd never experienced this before. See a man walking on water. And here Christ was. Verse 20, "But he said unto them, It is I. Be not afraid." 21, "And then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The wind settled, and they were on the other side." Now, in another writing and at another time, Peter saw Christ walk on the water. And he said, "Jesus, let me come and join you." Jesus said, "Bring it on." And Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water. And then a huge wave appears. He takes his eyes off Christ and looks at the wave. And he sinks. He's about to drown. Christ had to pick him up and get him back in the boat. What is the moral to that story? never take your eyes off Christ. Spiritually speaking, you always keep your eyes on Him, and He will see you through. There may be tough times. There may be times that you would even be a little confused. But do not take your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Although you may feel at times you're all alone, you're not. When you love Him and when you believe. So this was one of those things that was Christ trying to evade the crowd that He had just fed? Because He knew most of that crowd, though it was a miracle, they had a fish sandwich. And they're looking forward to the next time when they can have another fish sandwich. Okay. They didn't understand the feeding and the real purpose of it. That the living Word of God was right before them. As you know from chapter 1 of this great book, in the beginning, in this book of John, in the 14th verse, what does it say? And the Word became flesh and walked among us. That was the living Word. Christ was that living Word. And the Word of God is ever so powerful. But this lets you know, this would try the old disciples out a little bit, wouldn't it? Well, Christ can do that. Christ is not looking for some hothouse lilies that wilt the first time the sun hits them. He's not looking for somebody that doesn't know how to suck it up and get it going, get it done. That's what He wants, is can-do type people. And that's why He set these examples whereby, you know, you can't follow Him and be a hothouse lily because you'll wilt every time. But with the Comforter overshadowing you, it doesn't matter how rough it gets. You're going through. You're going to overcome. As it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, God will never allow you to be tested over what you can handle. Then He will comfort you. But the last part of the scripture, He will always show you a way out. And that is set in concrete. He meant it. He said it. He promised it. It is true. He will always show you through. Okay, next verse, we'll go with it, please. 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto His disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with His disciples into the boat, but that His disciples were gone away alone. They're looking for the man. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if they were looking for Him because He was the Son of God? That's not the reason. And unfortunately, you want to brace yourself because a lot of you plant seeds and they never grow. Well, this gives you an example of why. Verse 23. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. They're putting it together. 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither His disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. They were hunting this man of God. Verse 25. When they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? How did you get over here? Well, they wouldn't have believed it in the first place. Okay. 26, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, but not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You're just looking for a fish sandwich. That's all you're looking for. But they had plenty. Everybody had so much fish and bread, they could hold no more. What a happy bunch of campers here, right out in the wilderness. the miracle that Christ provided for them. Verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. That means life without beginning, without ending, from the time of creation, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Well, what does this mean, sealed? Sealed in the mind with the full word of God and truth to finish the work on earth that was there for him to accomplish. How precious it was that God, our Heavenly Father, would bring forth such a wonderful thing. You know, bread, you're going to have it a while. It is necessary. But there is a bread that is more and more important. It's the bread of life, and Christ is that bread. He was born in Bethlehem. That's the house of bread. It was the sign that would come on down through the years, giving us that bread of life that gives you eternal life. You know, you want to analyze, what does that mean? It means that you have life even at death, because you simply step into your spiritual body, which is inside these flesh bodies, and return to the Father from whence you came, to either take one side of paradise or the other. It's according to what's written in the book by your name, because all the records are in heaven that you're judged by. And certainly it is well and good to know that the bread you seek that brings you and steers you away from false doctrine, from men's lies, from Satan's deceptions, that puts the seal of God in your forehead, whereby Satan has orders. You cannot bother those that have the seal of God in their forehead. I'm quoting Revelation 9:4. Why? They're too smart for that. They're not going to fall for the liar. They know about the false doctrine. They're going to stay because they seek the true bread of life. That is to say, the body of Christ. Verse 28. Then saith they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Well, what do we have to do to please him? 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. In other words, he sent you a Savior. And naturally, the Scriptures foretold of it. Do you believe the Word of God? The Word of God in Isaiah, as you know, chapter 7, verse 14, said a virgin will conceive, will bear a man-child, and you will call him Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with you. So what he's saying is, I am God's representative. The Word was with God, the Word was God, and I'm the living Word. I'm standing right before them. Believing on him is what pleased our Heavenly Father. Verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? Question. What doest thou, dost thou work? Question. Is it, you know, that's an insult. They were just talking about the bread and the fish, how full they had been. Out in a wilderness where certainly there was nothing there to produce this much food other than the blessings of the eternal God. And they have the nerve to ask for a sign. You know, what does this mean? They're blinded. They do not have spiritual eyes to see. And if you're going to have everlasting life, you must sometimes close your flesh eyes so that you can open your spiritual eyes and see the beauty and the wonder that our Heavenly Father provides for us simply by believing, knowing that Christ will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always lead you, guide you. And do you know what a comforter does? It protects you. So, and many of you have experienced this when there have been times that you were very close to a terrible accident and it just, everything worked out fine. Okay. And it's real easy to do like these people and say, well, that just happened. Yeah, it just happened all right. I truly believe that God takes care of His own when they have a destiny and a purpose. And He knows how to cover, to protect with that Holy Spirit that welds the family together that serves the living God. Okay, next verse, please. Verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. And it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Exodus 16:15. Okay. It was angels' food. And it was bread, the very bread from heaven, and God can produce it. And that manna did come forth. It was a beautiful thing. And so this wasn't the first feeding, okay, in a desert place. There was far more than 4,000 and 5,000 of the children of Israel that God fed manna to in the wilderness. And that angel's food, He kept it for them for at least 38 years of the 40. Verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. What was the true bread from heaven? He was standing before them. It was Christ, the bread of life, standing right before them. What an opportunity to see the Savior, to see God before us, God made in this dimension. That you would be able to communicate with Him, to visit with Him, to hold Him. And that is God's gift to man. That and it's something you should seek. It's Christ Himself. Verse 33. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Not death, but gives life. Well, what kind of life is that? Eternal life. You're not talking about, you know, stop and think about it. It destroys death. There's no such thing as death when you have eternal life. Because you're going to live forever in the fullness and the happiness of those that serve the living God. I don't care what your state is, rich, poor, somewhere in between, or even lower, the bread is still there for you. It's there for everyone. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't play favorites. I don't care what your station is in life. The question is, do you believe? Do you believe the Word of God? For Christ was that Word that walked among us doing these miracles, and yet they would still have the nerve to say, can you give us a sign? So you see, many times when you plant a seed and it doesn't grow, then think about this. Some people just cannot see, and you cannot push them. You cannot force them. All you can do is plant a seed. And do you know who makes that seed grow if it does? Your Father does. You can't. You can't make a seed grow. You know, you can have your own garden. It can be a beautiful garden. You can take okra seed and you can place it there in the ground And that's the end of your doing there for a while. You cannot make that seed grow. But God, within each little old seed, placed an embryo. And when the heat from God's sun touches that soil, and the moisture content of it softens the old shell, and boom, that little old embryo just pops to life, and you've got a new plant. Well, so it is with life and with man. Is you cannot make a seed grow, which means you can share a truth, but you can't make them receive it. God must do it. Okay, next verse, please. Verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They had it. All they have to do is believe. Okay. Every day give us this bread over and over and over. They still don't know. They're thinking about food. Another sandwich. Verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am. That's the sacred name. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We're speaking spiritually here, but it even goes deeper than that. If you're a true believer, it is true. He will always show you a way. I mean, he is the tree of life. He knows how to give you life. He knows how to give you, if you believe. If you know how to partake of the manna that's from heaven, that's the truth, the word, then he will give you that life that things come to you. You work for them. You deserve it. You earn them. And how good he is to you when you're a precious child of his that spiritually enjoys the fact of never being hungry spiritually, always well fed, and never thirst, because he is the living water. Verse 36. But I said unto you, that you also have seen me, and believe not. So this is, here he was right in front of them. They observed the miracles. What kind of people is that? But you know something? There's nothing new under the sun. The world is full of them today that will run right over you even when you would have a hand out to help. God saved this particular people, that third that worshiped Satan in the first earth age, to live now. We have to put up with them. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is why many times you might hear me teach where it would say the unpardonable sin is to deny the Holy Spirit to speak through you and worship the false Messiah, as is written in Luke chapter 12, verse 10. That would be the unpardonable sin, is for one of God's elect. But this very scripture that we just read, as long as you believe him and stay with him and stand for him, he's not going to allow you to be cast out. That's why I do not think the unpardonable sin will ever take place. Because everybody that loves him, that follows him, that is in him, I'm talking about God's elect now, the set aside ones, that they're not going to sway from that. And he's certainly not going to cast them out. It's not going to happen. Verse 38 to continue. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is why you always want to pray if it's God's will. And leave it in God's hands. That doesn't mean that you sit down and don't do anything until a big sign comes, but it means you use the trial and error thing. If you feel led in a certain way, try it for a moment. If it doesn't work, then fix it and try again. And the third time, say, Father, I'm beginning to get the message. You don't want me to do this. Then put everything you got into it. He doesn't like quitters. And if it succeeds, fine. If it doesn't, back to the drawing board. It's not God's will. Because God's going to take care of his own. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise up again at the last day. In other words, they're going to witness for me, with me, and they're not going to turn away from me. On that last day, when it's time to stand against the false one, they're going to be there. They're my troopers. They do the will of God. And it is the will of God that this be fulfilled, that this come to pass. And how precious it is. Again, you can definitely understand why the unpardonable sin is not going to happen. God, those that are election, they're ready to go. They're not hothouse lilies. And as he stated in that verse, I should lose nothing. The Holy Spirit can see to it that he loses nothing. You get a little weak moment, here he comes. And he's going to strengthen you up, give you what for. And you're going to take it and you're going to do just fine. Because you can cut it. You can plow just as deep as anyone else can and maybe deeper. And that's just right when you're doing God's will. The last days are coming upon us. And it's important when that term, last days, is used, that you absorb it, pray about it, think on it. Because it's talking about your generation, the generation of the fig tree. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And there is a double witness to the last day, when you see him. Well, what does it mean when we see him? I thought the Antichrist was coming first. Well, you're not seeing the true Christ when you see the Antichrist. And if you know him, you know the true from the fake. That's what picking up those fragments of bread and people falsely teaching, winding you up and maybe causing you to worship the first Messiah that comes, who's none other than the Joker, the fake. So what he's saying is, when you see me, you will have already overcome. And because he will be the true Christ, he comes at the seventh trump, not the sixth. The sixth trump is the fake. And certainly, you are going to have nothing to do with him other than to stand against him in the presence of God, doing the will of God, that his will be accomplished. And we and the children of God that have difficulty in seeing, when they see your witness, when they see you stand against this one, many of them are going to remember when that happens, that you told them that you would have to stand against the false Christ many years ago. And it's come to pass. Meaning a prophet was in their area, somebody that prophesied a truth, that they would stand against that false one and that Christ would speak through them. When many see that come to pass, that's a powerful witness. And many will believe at that time. And so it is. You know, it's written in the 14th chapter of Revelation that even the 144,000, they slip. And then they see God's elect witnessing and they come back out. They are sealed and they know the truth when they see it come to pass. And my words to you now, let you know how that transpires. Because it is prophecy in God's Word, and you're living God's Word. And certainly, what a time to live is now. when these things are about to come to pass and you experience them. Yes, last days, you bet. It's the generation of the fig tree. Well, let's go another verse, please. Verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Now, remember, this word, Ehudas, doesn't necessarily just mean the tribe of Judah. It means the people, the inhabitants of the land of Judea. There were many Kenites in that. So you've got to learn the difference between a true child of Judah and a Kenite, because there is a difference. 42, to complete the lecture. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Now, I came down from heaven. Now, what's wrong with that? That is a very wrong statement. Well, how could it be wrong? Joseph was not the father of Jesus. If you think Joseph was the father of Jesus, then you don't believe the word. Because the father of Jesus was Almighty God. And he chose to send us this bread. And how precious it is with God on the throne that you know the truth to be able to spot a falsehood such as that when it comes forth. Why? Because you believe. You believe on him. All right, bless your hearts. Don't miss the next lecture. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We're not going to judge people. We're not judges. Our Father is the judge. And he places judgment in the hand of Christ. So we are to spiritually discern right from wrong and think for ourselves. But we're not to judge people. God is that judge, and he is an eternal judge. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give your mailing address. It's always a pleasure. Got a prayer request? You don't need a number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. You don't even have to say it out loud. He's a mind reader. And nobody can ever prevent you from praying. I don't care where you are, what time of the day it is. You don't have to say it out loud. You think it, he hears it. Cardio-nor is what he's known as. So mainly, what does he want from you? Number one, he wants your love. That's why he created you, is for your love and companionship, to be a loyal child. It makes big points. It makes his day. When you make his, boy, is he going to make yours. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and we'll get into some questions here. This is James. I'm from Alabama. I listen to your daily program. I enjoy it so very much. You are the best teacher I ever heard. I've learned, you're going to cause me to pop a button here. Okay, I've learned a lot from listening to you. Thank you. My question is, why did the fallen angels only seduce the daughters of Adam and Eve? Why not the daughters of the other races? Well, it isn't written, and I don't think they did. Why? Because Satan's the one that sent them. And Satan knew it would be through Mother Eve, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, that Christ would come. Satan was trying to block the Savior, for the Savior is Satan's downfall. And naturally, this was a second move after seducing Eve himself, as it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, this was his second attempt by causing the angels that truly, his lieutenants, that left their habitation and came to earth to destroy. This is why Enoch preached against this. You can read that in the book of Jude. Enoch preached against this mixing with these fallen angels. And God saw fit to just take him because he was a preacher. A lot of people don't realize that. But do you know something? Satan come almost getting the job done. You know why? If you read in Genesis chapter 6, Noah's family, his sons and his daughter-in-laws, they're the only people left that had a perfect generation. That means a pedigree. All the others had mixed in with these hybrids and messed up the seed line. So anyway, there you have it. That's why that they went for those daughters of Adam, because through them would come Christ. Kathleen from Oregon, you have to get down to a real miracle from our Father. I've been writing for you for years regarding my son, Jason, asking our Father to bring him home if it be his will. My question is it wrong to keep asking? His case is going before the court system, so there has been 20 years not being a final answer. Well, there's certainly no sin in, and I see your grandson has trouble and is in jail. Just pray for them, and there's nothing wrong. You know, the only thing that God does not like is repetitious, which is called chatter. To chatter when you would pray, he doesn't like that. So to chant, you don't want to chant when you pray. Simply talk in a civil, decent tongue and language, and let the Father know. A mother's love for her children, you continue praying, dear. You're in good ground. And just every day is fine. Just do it. God loves a prayerful warrior. Gail from Mississippi. My question is regarding the elect and the remnant. I know the elect are chosen by God, and he can interfere in their lives and use them as he chooses, especially when they are delivered up for the Holy Spirit to speak through. Am I correct in thinking that the remnant also know that 6 comes before 7, but are called the remnant because they are not among those who are delivered up because they have passed on before this event? My mental shelves are almost cleaned out. Well, good. Yeah, appreciate that. You're right. Let's document it, though, from the Word. Romans chapter 11 states that God has set aside 7,000 that will not bow a knee to Baal. And even at that time, and that would be sometime around between 40 and 50, 60 A.D. Even at that time, there was a remnant. Even Paul was a remnant. There has always been that remnant that passed this truth down from one generation to the next. And that's what makes the difference between one of the remnant and one of God's elect. Does God love them both? Absolutely. And their rewards are the same. Bajan from California. Since Elijah in the end days is going to lead people to their true fathers, have it be God or Satan, wouldn't that mean revealing the truth and letting people know that Satan is coming first, and whatever and whosoever knows that and is therefore not ignorant and innocent anymore because of Elijah's truth and still worship Satan, already committed the unpardonable sin to a vast degree? If they have worshipped Satan after he comes as Antichrist, they're not exactly in the best shape. They better do a whole lot of repenting. But the truth always changes men's hearts and minds. In other words, the secret is this. Once you learn the truth, some people in ignorance will listen to Satan. Oh, he's convincing. You're the greatest. I want you to know that you are a man after my own heart. He can lay it on pretty thick. But one of God's elect, they do not find him tempting. Once you have the truth, you find him to be repulsive and want nothing whatsoever to do with him. So therefore, there's no chance of being deceived by him, because he is an abomination. Georgia from West Virginia. Excuse me. First, we want to thank you for your teaching. You're so welcome, which brought my family the knowledge of understanding our Father's Word. We thank God for him answering our prayers and being taught the truth through Shepherd's Chapel. We've been studying our Father's Word with you for a year and have more knowledge than we've ever had. We send you, well, thank you. It's good to have your support, and the staff appreciate you too. I do have a question. What is concerning a situation that's been weighing on my mind? My husband and I have a new life now, studying and loving our Father's Word. We can't stand the dirty talk and always of the world by many members of our family is still in the world. We have talked to them many times of the Word of God, but it seems like it goes through one ear and out the other. We love them, but they have no respect for us, that they talk filthy, and go. So we have pulled somewhat away from them, so we're not exposed to all of it. Well, you're okay. You're in good standing. You're not neglecting your family. You're in doing this. You've planted a seed. Yeah, I can tell because you said you shared the word with them. They didn't listen. So only God can cause them to hear. They're still family, so don't. A good scripture reading on this, you will find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, begin reading along about with verse 6, at how you do a brother that is not in the Word and won't listen. Cindy from North Carolina, I knew from the first time I heard you that I was hearing the truth. I thank God for leading me to you. Well, thank you for being with me, and I certainly pray for you. Thank you. I have two questions. I know that the Hebrew language has no J's, but if Yeshua can be translated to Jesus, why can't Yahweh be translated to Jehovah? It can if you want to, but most people, because it is the Father's name, and when Moses was in the wilderness, Moses asked him point blank. They're going to want to know who sent me with the Ten Commandments. So who am I going to say sent me? And he said, you tell them Yah sent you. So that's why I like to call him Yahweh, because that's what he said to call himself, and that's why I do it. If the two witnesses are in spiritual or transfigured bodies, how is it possible for them to be killed? Think about it now. Elijah never died. Elijah was never killed. Elijah was taken in a vehicle to heaven in a flesh body. Now, transfigured means to put on the glory of God. But I feel Moses fits the same, quite frankly, notch. God would not let anyone bury Moses. He took him himself. And so they can be killed, certainly. Mark from Nebraska, does the word bow in Revelation 6:2 mean a cheap cloth rainbow? If it does, do you think there is a connection to the rainbow flag we keep seeing on television at political rallies and such? Well, it's the same thing. The word in the Greek is toxon, or toxon. It means a cheap imitation fabric. Not as chapter 4 of the great book of Revelation shows, that beautiful bow, light around Almighty God. Satan on his white horse is just flying a little banner compared. There's no comparison whatsoever. So, again, the word in the Greek, toxon, imitation. That's all Satan is. You know, it is amazing, but a lot of preachers, because it's a white horse, and the ones riding it, that's Christ. No, that's Antichrist. You've got to be very careful. He's the false one. Looks like the true one, but he's the false one. Trying to imitate. James from Tennessee. Some other preacher told me that I didn't need to worry about anything in the Old Testament, just in the New. Is that true? I don't really believe that. If I'm studying half of the Bible, shouldn't I study the other half as well to get the complete picture? Well, I would think so. I never judge another pastor, but when Paul was teaching, what did he quote and made it the New Testament? The Old. And Jesus himself, when he was teaching, what was one of his main sayings? Haven't you ever read? You see, there was no New Testament when Jesus walked the earth. He's talking about the Old Testament. I would, God said you must have all the Word of God. There is more written about the millennium in the Old Testament from Ezekiel chapter 40 to the end. That's all about the millennium and exactly what's going to happen there. It hasn't happened yet. Book of Daniel, much of the prophecy concerning the end times. Minor prophets, prophecy concerning end times. And people rob themselves of that. No, indeed, you need the whole Word of God. Linda from Georgia, my husband just passed, and I'm sure he is in heaven. Well, we're sorry that he passed, but we feel that if you're sure, we're sure. Is there any place in the Bible where it says we'll be reunited there? I know we won't be married, but want to know we're together. Well, it's written in the book I just quoted concerning the millennium, that you will know him, recognize him, and you can even help him. Ezekiel 44, verse 25. John from Florida. Pastor, where does it say a day in the Lord is 1,000 years? Please give me scripture. Thank you. You're very welcome. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years with man. 1,000 years is a millennium. So the entire millennium from the time this dispensation ends is one day called the Lord's Day. It's the millennium. Loretta from Pennsylvania. So wisdom in Proverbs states that she was God's first creation since it is specified. She then was God's first creation, a female. The eighth day creation, those words are not in the Bible. Did you get inspiration of this from God or himself? No, I'm pretty good at arithmetic. And I get the eighth day because it comes after the seventh. Okay. And when you read the manuscripts, that's what happened on the eighth day. God did not have a farmer. He did not create a farmer on the sixth day. He rested the seventh, and then he created a farmer on the eighth day. Okay, wisdom is not a person. So we speak of it in the feminine, wisdom, her. But wisdom is knowledge. And what is the beginning of wisdom? What is the beginning of learning? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The beginning of wisdom and knowledge is to study the Word of God. Okay, because from God comes all wisdom. This is a play on words that wisdom is letting you know, hey, I was with him when he created everything, even the sons of God. Carol from Oklahoma. If you willfully sin after you have been saved, will you be forgiven? Well, it's according to whether you repent or not. You know, naturally, there is forgiveness after salvation. This is why Jesus said, hey, you got to forgive them if they're genuine. 7 times 70, that's 490 times. That's a lot. But every time in other words, let me give you an example. Many people that think they're saved and truly feel they are, if they are not taught properly from the Word and they accept this sixth trump Antichrist instead of Jesus and worship him, they better do some repenting, because that makes them Satan worshipers. What an insult to somebody that truly means well. But that's the penalty for not studying all of God's Word, because he makes it very clear. This is why Elijah turns the hearts of the children back to the fathers, plural. The false Christ, the true Christ. Which are you going to take? But certainly you cannot claim to be saved if you're going to be deceived by the false Christ. You're a Satan worshiper. So that takes a lot of repenting. Brian from Wisconsin. I do know the false one comes first, and I feel like I'm one of God's elect. But also, I know I'm not special over anyone else. Do you think I'm one of the elect? Can you let me know, or let me know what makes a person of God's elect? Well, pretty well, you said it, to know that the false one comes first. Because many people are blinded to it. But being one of God's elect doesn't make you special. It simply means you didn't fall for his junk in the first earth age, and you're not going to fall for it again, the Satan. You're smarter than he is. Why? Because you're loaded with the Word of God. So you don't think perfection or being a goody-goody two-shoes is what makes one of God's elect. We're very much like anyone else. It's just that we know who comes first, and we know who we follow, and there will never be a slipping away from that fact that we love the Lord, and we're going to serve the true Christ, not the fake. Doris from Georgia. I was raised once saved, always saved, but if I have fallen away for a while and didn't have time to repent before I died, would I go to hell? Well, you would. I'm not supposed to judge, and you're asking me to. God's going to judge you. But there is the millennium. And I can tell you, Doris, once saved, always saved, if you get saved by the Holy Spirit to the point you know the difference in the fathers, and you know the fake comes first, you're going to get around to repenting before you die, before the Lord's day. We're coming up close to that time. But the millennium is coming for those that are deceived in ignorance. They don't have really a prayer of a chance. So God has given this millennium, this 1,000 years. That's not a second chance. With what's being taught, a lot of people don't have a chance coming out the gate. Randy from Kentucky. Revelation 22:15. What does the scripture mean if this is after the millennium? No, it's not after the millennium. In 22 verse 8, John is taken back to 95 A.D. Okay. So from verse 8 on, it's 95 A.D., and you have to read it accordingly. And I'm out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. It's the letter He sent to you to cause you to grow, to understand, and to know His love for you. When you return that love, it makes His day. And when you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me. Listen good now. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying.